Good morning, everyone. Let's begin our service this morning by singing hymn number 267. Our God is all in all. His children cannot fear. See baseless evil fall and know that God is here. Hymn number 267. Shahidat from Maryland will now read a selection from the scriptures. Go ahead, Shahidat.
This is Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them shall trust in him, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the Lord's Prayer together with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. We will now sing hymn number 237. Oh, may we be still and seek him, seek with consecration whole, listening thus to hear the message, far from sense and hid in soul. Hymn number 237. Welcome to the Sunday morning service from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. Everyone is welcome here. We start every Sunday at 10 o'clock with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other pertinent topics, and it is a basic training session on practicing Christian Science. Our roundtable discussions, one each week, are also included as a recording in our website. So if you want to go back, listen to it again, or listen to the first time, please go to our website and listen. And as you well know, our Sunday morning church services start 11 a.m. every Sunday morning here. We also offer a Sunday school for children. It meets every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And our Sunday school has a teleconference feature, one dedicated exclusively for the Sunday school, which enables students that don't live in the area to attend our Sunday school. And many of them do so by telephone. What this means is that your child also can attend our Sunday school by telephone, regardless of where you live. Call up the church. We'd be happy to give you the phone number for the Sunday school, and our teachers there would be most happy to welcome your child. We also have a Wednesday evening testimony meeting. It meets every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear inspired readings and testimonies that attest to the healing power of Christian Science. Testimonies of healing and lives greatly improved. That's Wednesday evenings, 8:15. And as always, we have a nursery for the little ones for all of our meetings and services. So if you happen to come to Plainfield, and we would love to see you walk through the front doors of our church and join us here, you can bring the whole family as well, because we have some wonderful care for anyone, including the little ones. Okay, got to mention our websites, 17 of them altogether, in various other languages. It's an amazing outreach. And by these, many people from across the globe have found our church, found God's healing word, have found healing, encouragement, and comfort. We have an amazing amount of material on all of our websites, and it is all free, free of charge, and readily available for your reading, studying, and listening. We have an enormous amount of audio files for listening, as well as other material there for reading and studying. And it is the finest Christian Science literature. I'd like to point out one article we're now featuring on the homepage of our English website. It is the article by Mary Baker Eddy, her very important article entitled Vain Glory. I highly recommend reading that article. And as I mentioned before, everyone is welcome here. And now, Debbie from Illinois will read from Miscellaneous Writings, A Healing, which testifies to the healing power of reading Science and Health, studying and practicing Christian Science. Go ahead, Debbie.
Page 449. It is a little over 1 year since a very esteemed friend of this city invited me to partake of the heavenly manna contained in the revelation of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I had, up to that time, been for 15 years a victim of hip joint disease. This eventually confined me to my bed, where I had been 10 months when the Book of Prophecy was opened for me. I was not long in finding the light I needed that gave feet to the lame, enabling me now to go, move, and walk where I will without crutch or support of any description, save the staff of divine science. In proportion as my thoughts are occupied with the work in science, does the peace and joy come inwardly that transforms the blight of error externally. T.G.K., Tacoma, Washington.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. the canonical writings together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational and spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. Our lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 14 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, soul. The golden text is from Isaiah. O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. The responsive reading is from Psalms and Hebrews. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation.
Today, if ye will hear his words, harden not your hearts.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Isaiah. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Mark. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Luke. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Mark. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Acts. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Romans. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God.
Gary will now read.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil, and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. Every valley of sin must be exalted, and every mountain of selfishness be brought low, that the highway of our God may be prepared in science. As the individual ideal of truth, Christ Jesus came to rebuke rabbinical error and all sin, sickness, and death, to point out the way of truth and life. This ideal was demonstrated throughout the whole earthly career of Jesus, showing the difference between the offspring of soul and of material sense, of truth and of error. If we have triumphed sufficiently over the errors of material sense to allow soul to hold the control, we shall loathe sin and rebuke it under every mask. Only in this way can we bless our enemies, though they may not so construe our words. We cannot choose for ourselves, but must work out our salvation in the way Jesus taught. In meekness and might, he was found preaching the gospel to the poor. Pride and fear are unfit to bear the standard of truth, and God will never place it in such hands. We cannot fathom the nature and quality of God's creation by diving into the shallows of mortal belief. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. Neither age nor accident can interfere with the senses of soul, and there are no other real senses. It is evident that the body as matter has no sensation of its own, and there is no oblivion for soul and its faculties. Spirit's senses are without pain, and they are forever at peace. Nothing can hide from them the harmony of all things and the might and permanence of truth. Soul is immortal because it is spirit, which has no element of self-destruction. Through false estimates of soul as dwelling in sense and of mind as dwelling in matter, belief strays into a sense of temporary loss or absence of soul, spiritual truth. This state of error is the mortal dream of life and substance as existent in matter, and is directly opposite to the immortal reality of being. So long as we believe that soul can sin, or that immortal soul is in mortal body, we can never understand the science of being. When humanity does understand this science, it will become the law of life to man, even the higher law of soul, which prevails over material sense through harmony and immortality. Unselfish ambition, noble life motives, and purity, these constituents of thought, mingling, constitute individually and collectively true happiness, strength, and permanence. There is moral freedom in soul. The pains of sense are salutary if they wrench away false pleasurable beliefs and transplant the affections from sense to soul, where the creations of God are good, rejoicing the heart. Such is the sword of science, with which truth decapitates error, materiality giving place to man's higher individuality and destiny. Truth brings the elements of liberty. On its banner is the soul-inspired motto, "Slavery is abolished." The power of God brings deliverance to the captive. No power can withstand divine love. What is this supposed power which opposes itself to God? Whence cometh it? What is it that binds man with iron shackles to sin, sickness, and death? Whatever enslaves man is opposed to the divine government. Truth makes man free. As human thought changes from one stage to another of conscious pain and painlessness, sorrow and joy, from fear to hope, and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestation will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense. Reflecting God's government, man is self-governed. When subordinate to the divine spirit, man cannot be controlled by sin or death, thus proving our material theories about laws of health to be valueless. Science reveals soul as God, untouched by sin and death, as the central life and intelligence around which circle harmoniously all things in the systems of mind. Soul changeth not. When understanding changes the standpoints of life and intelligence from a material to a spiritual basis, we shall gain the reality of life, the control of soul over sense, and we shall perceive Christianity, or truth, in its divine principle. Kingdom of Heaven, the reign of harmony in divine science, the realm of unerring, eternal, and omnipotent mind, the atmosphere of spirit, where soul is supreme.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. We will now sing hymn number 7. Abide with me. Fast breaks the morning light. Our day star rises, banishing all night. Thou art our strength, O truth that maketh free. We would unfailingly abide in thee. Hymn number 7. Let us now sing hymn number 374. We thank thee and we bless thee, O Father of us all, that e'en before we ask thee, thou hearest thy children's call. We praise thee for thy goodness and tender constant care. We thank thee, Father, Mother, that thou hast heard our prayer. Hymn number 374.
Thank you. read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.